friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log into your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
The sun is shining and we are excited about looking ahead to Friday of Royal Ascot. Joining myself, Lee Mottershead, I have my esteemed Racing Post colleagues, Tom Siegel and David Jennings, and from my lovely sponsors, Paddy Power, Mr. Paul Binfield. We will kick off with race one. Seems like a nice place to start. The Albany Stakes, yet another huge field two-year-old race at this Royal Meeting. Paul Binfield, how did Paddy Power price it up?
Well, we go 4 Naibeth Lee, 5 Daye, 11-2 Chili Petin, 12 Silent Wave and So Wonderful, and it's 14-1 Bar.
Okay, lovely. So, Tom, the Albany, discuss.
Well, the horse Wesley Ward was talking about on the way all week, wasn't he? It's been Naibeth, but I don't know, yes, on Wednesday the draw was high, wasn't it? 24, 23, 22 won the Windsor Castle. He's in trap one, right on the far, she's in trap one, right on the far side. At this stage, you know, we'll know a bit more before the race time, but at this stage it's quite hard to say that you want to be in trap one on the far side in any race at the Royal Ascot so far. Things can change, we all know that, it's drying out. But, you know, when we're doing this now, I would say that stall one is a bad draw for her. She'll have to be super special to win, because if you watched the Hunt Cup yesterday and the last race, they were beaten a long way, those on the middle on the far side. Could change, but at the moment, stall one for the favourite's not good.
So do you have a horse drawn high that you like?
I do. I like J.M. Jackson for Mark Johnson. No Nay Never, Cadeau Genero Mare's going to like soft ground. Second in the National Stakes at Sandown, crying out for 6 furlongs. I thought it was interesting that Mark Johnson won the Queen Mary with a horse that had run over 6 furlongs, came back to 5 furlongs, and this one is running in the Albany over 5 furlongs and moving up to 6. I think she's crying out for 6 furlongs. He won it last year with Main Edition. Clearly got loads of good two-year-old fillies. I think she's 14-60-1. I think she could bet.
DJ, are you as negative about Wesley's filly as Thomas?
Yeah, it's very hard to know. Obviously, at this stage, it looks like a really bad draw. We'll know more later today. J.M. Jackson has got a terrific chance. Like, when you see the National Stakes, really, the last half furlong was when she did her best work. The one I'm going to take a chance on, she's 25-1, is Lil Grey from Sheila Lavery's stable. Like, Sheila had a big blow in losing Lady Kaya last week, and it would be a lovely bit of compensation, albeit very small compensation. But I just loved the way Lil Grey travelled at the Curragh last time. Like, really, it was effortless and won very, very convincingly. Hard to know what she beat. Her maiden first time out at Leopardstown, she was second. Worked out reasonably well. I'd say she's a decent filly, and the ground, if it doesn't dry out hugely, it will suit her, because she coped very well with softer ground at the Curragh. I'd say she's a better filly than we've seen so far. She's 25-1 now. I'd say she'd start a little bit shorter.
I think the point is both of those drawn very high as well. So if there is an advantage drawing, and as I say, we don't know that for sure, but if there is, and at this stage we'd say there probably was, judging on the early evidence, they're both drawn very well.
Yeah, I should say the minute we have, as you can see, beautiful dry weather, just a chance of a shower during Thursday afternoon, which by now you probably know if it's happened or not, and then we're meant to be dry for the rest of the meeting. Binners, what do you like in the Albany Stakes?
Well, I hope David's right, because I know Sheila, and it'd be a great fillip for her. I'm going to go for Moon of Love at a huge price. She was third in the Hillary Needler. Well fancied that day, but Richard Farr, he said she'd come on. Badly hampered twice. And I know that Richard still fancies her for Royal Ascot after that performance.
Okay. Although, I was going to say, you mentioned it. You've got a lot of friends in the Irish training community, haven't you? You're very popular over there.
I haven't really, but Brendan Duke and Sheila Lavery are a couple that I know. And yeah, she's a nice lady. And it was very, very sad what happened about Lady Kaya, being serious for once.
Yeah, no, it really will be a hugely popular victory for Sheila Lavery, so let's keep our fingers crossed. At 3:05, we have the King Edward VII Stakes, the Ascot Derby, as it's sometimes referred to, and we have Binners as the favourite horse who ran a belting good race in the Derby.
He did indeed. 6-5 Japan, Lee. 4-1 Private Secretary. 5 Pondus. 7 Pablo Escobar. 15-2 Bangkok, and it's 16 the rest.
Okay, Tom, in an earlier postcast this week, you predicted that Japan would start odds-on favourite. It looks like he's going in that direction.
Yeah, I think he will. I think the point about him is that they were really surprised how well he ran in the Derby. They really were. They thought he was the one horse of theirs that was going to take a massive step forward. It's the one horse they've had the most problems with all winter and up into the run into the Derby. I think they think in the long run he might actually be the best of theirs. I think that's what that's where he's heading. I think this race is his for the taking. I mean, the ground is an issue for him slightly, but I think he'll be fine on it. Private Secretary's a good horse. I think he's better than he was at. He was worth more than the value of his win at Goodwood. It's a long way off Derby form for that for me. I think Japan's a shoo-in. I really do. I think he'll win easily.
Tom, obviously, we associate you with finding, tipping, backing big price winners. At what price, people watching this, is Japan worth the bet?
Oh, that's a good question. Depends what kind of punter you are, isn't it? I mean, I'm not a short price punter, so it would never be a bet for me. It was a bet for me at 7-2, or what it was in the week, 6-5. I just don't bet horses at 6-5. It's not because I don't think they're great value. I mean, I think he's probably a 4-6 shot. So if you're that way inclined, then of course. But as a personally, I don't back horses at short prices. But if you want one at a short price, he's a good one.
There's a rumour circulating around the press room
that a certain
Lee Mottershead backed Japan at quite a tasty price earlier on the week. Am I right?
I backed him at 4-1. I backed Queen Power
with
at
the most
4-1 for the Ribblesdale, and she's now 9-2. So
yeah,
these things, and I bet Inns have caught at 6-1, and this morning he's come out of the Diamond Jubilee. So these things.
Swings and roundabouts. Yeah, I think you'll be collecting on Japan, though.
Do you?
Tom, I can only echo everything he said. Like, the price Japan went off on Betfair was incredible. Like, I think it was 30-something or something on Betfair for the Derby. Ran an absolute cracker. And who knows if Wayne Lorden didn't lose his whip, how close he would have got. Because he is a horse that finds plenty for pressure. I spoke to Aidan for the previews this morning. And he said, obviously, he hasn't done a lot since the Derby. But the key line, I thought, was anything he has done, they've been absolutely delighted with. And I think that's the first word, delighted, and Japan have been in the same sentence this season, because it seems like a real struggle. And he was the one that had the most improvement to make from the Derby, but he did make the most improvement from the Dante to the Derby. I'd say he's a very, very good 3-year-old, and I think by the end of the season we'll be saying that Japan is a better horse than Anthony Van Dyck. So if you're getting odds against here and you've got 4-1, you're sitting very, very pretty. I'd be very, very surprised if Japan was beaten.
I hope so. If he does win, it would be quite nice, because on the Japan front, I forgot during the week, I was going to write in a Deirdre piece, you know, Deirdre in the Prince of Wales Stakes. I just thought, quite nice thing, I can have a bit of pun about Deirdre. And I thought I'd try and find a way of saying Yen and Deirdre.
Very good.
Does that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very like
good.
Carnation Street.
Yes, yeah, so yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yen and Deirdre.
Very good.
Yeah, but I didn't write.
You've got your job, and we're like minions in the place.
No. Binners, Yen and Deirdre.
I think the sun's just come out here, hasn't it? The land of the rising sun. We're unanimous on Japan.
Remember that? You remember Big in Japan? Who sung that?
No.
I can't remember it.
Big in Japan?
I'll look it up in a minute, Lee. But. I can't add anything more than the boys have already said, except he's rated £10 in the rest of the field. I think he's a good thing.
Wishing me luck.
Good luck, Lee. Was it 4-1 or 3-1?
4-1.
After the rest of the week.
Yes, he's not. Well, no, I had a day on Tuesday, but I had Rawdah yesterday. This shouldn't all be about me, though. It should be about you. We want to know what you think. So please use our YouTube channel and let us know who you feel we'll be winning at Royal Ascot, and you can send warm words of encouragement to us as well. The big race, or one of the two big races, one, two Group 1 races on day 4, is the Commonwealth Cup, the 3-year-old Group 1 sprint. Paul Binfield, another Ballydoll hot pot.
Yes, indeed, Lee. 10 sovereigns, 6-5 favourites, 7-2 Jash, 5 Hello Yumzane, 7 Kadem, 9 Advertising, it's 14-1 bar.
Okay, let's go with you first this time. Binners, 10 sovereigns, is he a good thing?
Possibly, Lee, but I'm going to go for Advertise instead. Blinkered first time this week. I know he was disappointing in the 2000 Guineas, but last year he was a very, very good horse. He finished second in the Dewhurst. He won the Phoenix Stakes. He's got to return to that sort of form. But also, he's run well at Ascot. He was second to Calix in the Coventry Stakes last year. I think Advertise is quite a big price to oppose the favourite with.
Okay, DJ, Binner 60 is a big price. Is 10 sovereigns the right price?
I don't know. I have very strong opinions. And
I didn't think he was a big price. I thought Advertise was a big price.
No. I was linking the fact that Advertise was a big price, and I was just sort of doing like a price link.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay, sorry.
It's all right. Doesn't happen by accident, this, you know. David.
Professional. Yeah, as before I was so rudely interrupted there.
You were flowing beautifully.
I was, yeah. What I was saying was, usually, and people who watch this will know, and they usually will be screaming down their computer screen saying, oh, there's David Jennings, another strong opinion, another horse getting beaten, blah, 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 right? But I usually do have strong opinions. On 10 Sovereigns, I can't make up my mind. Okay. I'm not convinced he's the superstar that people think he might be as a sprinter. To be honest, I didn't think it was stamina that got him beaten in the Guineas. I thought he travelled fine. He wasn't paddling at the end of the race. It wasn't like a blatantly obvious non-stayer, I didn't think, anyway. You know, I thought actually Scardew was more inconvenienced than he was from being on the opposite side of the track of the Guineas. I think there's too much in the difference between Jash and 10 Sovereigns. There was a half a length between them in the middle park. I thought everything went right for 10 Sovereigns that day, and maybe everything just didn't go according to plan for Jash. Simon Crisford said in the last 2 weeks, Jash is finally starting to blossom. I think it's taken ages this spring for him to come right. Yeah. I think he's a very, very good sprinter. I think he's a proper Group 1 sprinter, and you're going to get an each-way price about Jash. I'd be shocked if he didn't finish in the first three, and I would prefer to back Jash at around about 4-1 than back 10 Sovereigns at his price.
Do you have the same feeling?
I don't think I'd back either of them, to be honest.
That's all right.
I thought that 10 Sovereigns was very good the first twice, and I thought he was going to be a superstar, and I didn't like him in the middle park at all.
Why not?
His head went up. He didn't like fast ground. I think the ground here is going to help him. And then I didn't like him again in the Guineas. I just don't like the way his gait. I don't think he moves like a great horse, and I think that's one thing good horses have in common, is they all carry themselves well. I've never seen that in him yet. Now, I could be wrong, because he looked good the first twice. But if you're saying, would you back him at 6-5 or Japan at 6-5? It's not even close. You know, I wouldn't go anywhere near him at 6-5. He might win. He might be the superstar everyone says. But look, as David says, he's what, and head in front of Jash or whatever he was. He's run 6th or 7th in the Guineas. It's, you know, it's not a great Guineas. It's an okay Guineas, but it's not a great Guineas. The only thing in his favour is not a great race, is it? We haven't got Calyx, which is a shame, because I think he would have won easily.
Lady Kaya.
We haven't got Lady Kaya. They've both fallen by the wayside. And so we're looking at horses he's already beaten. It's Jash has been the second favourite. So I get why he's at the market leader. Would I back him? Nowhere near backing him. I think the horse I might back is Cardem for Charlie Hill's Dark Angel horse. We know about Dark Angel. We talked about them the other day. They quite like a bit of soft ground. You know, Batash, a few of them floating around that like soft ground. I think he's just the type of horse that's on the up. I know the sectional boys were very, very keen on him last year in one of his maiden wins, or in his maiden win. He can't have more than one maiden win. In his maiden win, they said the sectionals were really, really good in his stride and all those sort of things that they do. Those technical guys were really, really keen on Cardem. I think he probably needed the run first time up at Newbury, and it wasn't a great race. He only beat a long shot narrowly, but he's Charlie Hill's sprinters. You know, it's just got a feeling of he's going to make up into a good horse. Whether he's a really good horse, we haven't seen it yet, but at the prices, I'd take a shot over him over 10 Sovereigns.
And to add to your argument, one of the guys behind the camera, Sam Hansen, was down with Charlie Hills last week doing a pre-Royal Ascot themed feature, and the one horse he took out of it, Cadem.
Really?
That was the one they were, all the dogs in the stables were barking about, was Cadem.
Inside line there on Cadem. So three tips in the Commonwealth Cup, not one for 10 Sovereigns.
What do you like?
What do I like? Do you know, it's a race that this year doesn't do much for me. I think it's one of the great innovations of the Royal Meeting, the Commonwealth Cup.
Well, we don't go there.
No, I like it. I know you don't like it. I like it, but this year's race hasn't really set my pulse racing. I'm sorry, but it hasn't.
That's okay.
I know, it's just...
It's no one's fault, though, isn't it? If we had Calyx and Lady Kaya, it would. It would. It's not the race's fault, that.
Just one of those things. Yeah. And with those deep and meaningful words, we end part one of this Racing Post podcast.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to Royal Ascot and our beautiful RPTV position overlooking the winner's enclosure. We are blessed to be here. And we're looking forward to the Coronation Stakes. 4:20 on Friday afternoon. We've had two Ballydor hot pots in the previous group races. We have another one here. Paul Binfield, what price with Paddy Power is Hermosa?
Well, we'll be keen to get this one beaten. Lee, Hermosa is 4-5 favourite, 7-2 Jubiloso, 15-2 Castle Lady, 9 Pretty Pollyanna, and it's 20-1 Bar.
Okay, Tom, you've discussed your thoughts on whether or not Japan and Ten Sovereigns should be the short prices that they are. Hermosa 4-5, fair enough?
I think she's in the middle of the two for me. I prefer Japan to Hermosa. I just thought at the current, I mean, she was good at Newmarket, but she was a 14-16-1 shot. I don't think the form's that brilliant, the Guineas. She was much better at the Cara, but there was a big draw advantage there. Both her and Phoenix of Spain got the front up the far rail, and no one ever saw which way they went. We saw what happened to Phoenix Spain last time. She's on draw on the outside this time. Now, she'll probably still get the lead, and it might be quite good being on the outside, because if we saw in the Crystal Ocean race earlier in the week, they didn't want to go anywhere near the rail, so it might actually be an advantage. But do I want to back her at 4-5 in this time? Probably not. Do I think she'll win? Probably yes. But it's one of those, you know, I don't think she's that far in front of the field as the market would suggest. I think there's a couple in there. I think Pretty Pollyanna might run well this time. I thought she was really disadvantaged at the Curragh. She ran right up the middle. She did the best of anything drawn high on either race, in either of the Guineas. And I think whether she'll like a stiff mile on soft ground is the problem for her. But I do think the French horse will run well. Watch me for Francois Graffard. Francois, he won the Diane on Sunday with a filly, and I'm pretty sure this one's better than that one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And she, if you go and watch the... always get them mixed up, the Pouliche. If you go and watch the Pouliche again, she was really unlucky. She wasn't being very far. Combs came out and was second in the Diane the other day. I think that's Castle Lady runs in this race as well. But I would say at a double-figure price, I think she's going to run well, watch me, because she likes soft ground. Olympic Glory's her sire, who was also the sire of the of Channel, who won the Diane.
Would you make a status for the Jubilos?
She's just an unknown. She looked brilliant, didn't she, at Newbury? She's up in trip on softer ground. She's not bred to want soft ground. Hopefully it'll dry out for her. 4-1, I think she's one of those that if you've got the prices on her, you're quite happy. Would I back her now at 4-1? No, I wouldn't, because it's too much. It's just you're guessing how good she is, and she's a short price. You know, I like guessing at horses that are big prices if I don't know how good they are. She might be brilliant, and the market will tell us. But I think around 4-1 now, with the conditions, you know, she's stepping up in trip on different ground she's never run off, I'd be lukewarm about her at the price.
DJ, you with her against Hermosa?
Oh, I think she'll win. It's boring, and like, you spend so long going through these races and trying to take on short price favourites. Ten Sovereigns would be one I would be taking on. Japan and Hermosa, I think they're as Tom said, they're the best two out of the three shorties. I don't think all three will win, but I think two probably will, and I think it will be Hermosa and Japan. With Hermosa, she's just so professional and straightforward. I know she was probably convenienced by the way the race was run at the Curragh, but she was well on top of the line, and I just think she's so straightforward, and she's a street fighter. Like, she finds plenty for pressure. I think that the track will suit her, and she's a typical improving Aidan O'Brien filly who at the start of the year they didn't know how good she was. She was about the fourth or fifth choice in the Guineas, but the vibes just before the race, if you see, there was a late market move for Hermosa in the Irish Guineas, and the vibes from Ballydoyle were that yes, she's now the best miler we have, because Just Wonderful was a shorter price at one stage going into the Irish Guineas, even though she'd been well beaten by Hermosa at Newmarket, and I think Hermosa is only going to get better. So for that reason, I think she'll win. Would I back her at her current price? Of course I wouldn't. She's far too short. But she's the most likely winner.
Okay. Binnis, do you agree, Hermosa? Much the most likely winner?
Possibly, Lee, but I've got to take her on as a bookie, haven't I? I'm going to go for Castle Lady. She won on heavy ground in the French Guineas. And I think she might just be suited by the ground a bit more than Hermosa. Hermosa did win her maiden on soft ground, but possibly the ground will be more in Castle Lady's favour.
Okay, Castle Lady for Binners. And again, tell us what you think using our YouTube channel. Paul, the 5 o'clock race on Friday is the Sandringham Handicap. It's the 1 mile handicap for 3-year-old fillies. Magnetic Charm for the Queen heads the weights on 9 stone 7. Roll winner here.
Well, 10-1 chance, Lee. Okay. Magnetic Charm. So we'll see. 6 places each way. Incredible generosity from
Incredible.
Penny once again. Yeah. 6-1 favourite, Nonchalant. 7, Desirous and Hotsy Totsy. 8, Leolina. 10, Invitational and Magnetic Charm for the Queen. And 12-1 bar.
And who do you think will win?
I think Coral Beach is a huge price, Lee, for a filly who ran in both the Irish and French Guineas. And she still has some... Group 1 entries, so she's clearly well regarded at Ballydoyle still, and I think she's a big price.
DJ, has Binnis found one?
Yeah, he could have had. Coral Beach has certainly got a big chance. I think that Coral Beach could have been a carefully executed plan from Ballydoyle, running in group ones.
Yeah.
And being outclassed.
Yeah.
But the handicap mark staying where it is.
Yeah.
And the Sandringham, I would imagine, a big field handicap is exactly what Coral Beach wants. Plenty of cover, swoop late. I'd imagine she's quite well handicapped.
Oh.
I do think she's got a big chance, but I've loved one for this race for 6 weeks now.
6 weeks?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
No
one has ever loved a horse at Sandringham for 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, I was sitting at home with my beloved wife, Eve, on the couch, and she was on Instagram or something, and there was racing from Windsor on Sky Sports.
Domestic bliss.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we've having a couple of little chit-chats along the way. And then a filly called Lady Madison.
Oh, Hughesy's.
Hughesy's won. And I watched the race, and I actually watched it 3 or 4 times afterwards as well, just to make sure that my eyes weren't deceiving me. I thought it was a brilliant performance. I really did. First run in the handicap. She got a mark in 91, and she hasn't run since. So I'd imagine Hughesy said to himself, and he was interviewed afterwards, and
what did he say?
He said, "We're going for the Sandringham." And this is at the end of April. I thought she would get higher, and I thought 91 was a perfectly respectable mark. She won by just under 3 lengths. It was one of these at Windsor where the jockey Shane Kelly was pulling her up 50 yards before the line. She could have won by double what she did. The second Jarrell, trained by James Fanshawe, won a very good maiden next time at Chelmsford and is now rated 84. Lady Madison is rated 91. She was given Jarrell £2 that day, okay? So if Jarrell is rated 84 and Lady Madison gave him £2 and hammered him, that tells me that Lady Madison is a much better filly than American 91 suggests. I think she could be very, very good. Now, the problem is it's a very, very good race. She's drawn in 16, which will be fine.
Good, yeah.
She's a double-figure price. She's 12s with Paddy Power. She might be a little bit bigger tomorrow. I think she's very good. And look, if Coral Beach is... verging on a group one horse or group two horse, she probably won't beat him, but I think she's going to be bang there. I'm very sweet in Lady Madison.
Really positive words there about Lady Madison. Do you feel the same?
I'd never heard of her until 2 seconds ago,
but you're thinking about it.
I'll think about it now. Yes. I like the Queen Motty one. Hats off, you've never seen a reception like it. I think tomorrow Magnetic Charm, I thought she was really impressive. Twist and Shake runs in the Coronation Stakes. She beat Her Hollow at New York when she wasn't really expected to. Trap 10, I think she's in, is a bit of a worry for me. So I'll have to obviously back something else. Trap 11.
A bit less of a worry. Bit,
well, still a worry. Still a worry in a 28-runner field, but I think she's really good. Yeah. I really do, and I think this has been a long, long... I mean, I think if David Jennings has been 6 weeks in the off, I think it's probably been 6 months in the off.
They did ruminate about the Coronation, didn't they? They had her in that.
They definitely did. She's a really good filly. I like top weights in these fillies' handicaps. I think they always. I like top weights in all handicaps, really. We saw that at the start of the season, the first day with Le Grand Vizier. I think class will out. I think her, and I do agree with Binner's Trap 28, Coral Beach. She was only beaten 4 lengths in the French Guineas. She's getting £5 from Magnetic Charm. I will go through and have a good look at this Hughes superstar when I get home and have a proper look at it. And also, you've got to remember, John Gosden's got 4 or 5 fillies in there, right down the bottom. He's got a great record in these Ascot handicaps. There's Nonchalant and Kimblewick.
Spanish Aria,
another couple. There is. There's a couple.
Wimbrel,
Nonchalant as well, up Rab Havlin's riding. And, you know, there's 4 or 5 of them in there. I'm a big sucker for a Johnny G one in a handicap at Royal Ascot. And so I'll be going through those with a fine tooth comb as well. There's a one by Dark Angel Wimbrel, I think, the one at Chelmsford over a bit further, which was the one that really caught my eye. But at the moment, I'm going 1 and 2. To keep it simple, best horses in the race. Number 1, Magnetic Charm. Number 2, Coral Beach.
But I think we should agree, shouldn't we, that if Coral Beach wins, Binnis said it first.
He will get it. He will get it. I don't know if he backed it first.
Did you back it first?
No.
Oh. Right.
Can I win on that one? Can I have that one?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Fair enough, yeah. And the last race on day 4 at Royal Ascot is the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes, the Bessborough of old. Paul Binfield,
it's good to see that romance is still alive in David Jennings' marriage. His wife on Instagram, and he's watching the racing at Windsor. It's
match made in heaven.
Match made in heaven.
It's still a new marriage as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
how's it going?
We will be celebrating our 6 month anniversary on the 1st of July because we got married on New Year's Day, so it's an easy enough one to remember.
Mm.
She's coming over tomorrow night
in Slough.
Yeah, Knight and Slough, yeah, in front of the TV.
Take it to all the best places.
Yeah, there's a Nando's though.
Is there?
Yeah,
it's that's not been that the bad. You sound like Slough's like.
Well, you want to see the reaction when I tell people when I'm staying in Slough. Yeah. Now, I hope there's not Slough viewers here, yeah. But like, it's like everybody says the same thing. Oh, where are you staying? Where are you staying? And I don't know if they expect me to say like Eton or Windsor. Are they posh?
Yeah. Windsor. Windsor's very posh.
Windsor. And I say Slough and they go, oh, you're in Slough. But I haven't seen any negative like stuff.
You've not been looking hard enough.
No.
It's not Mogadishu, Slough. I can totally clear about that. It's quite nice, Slough.
Yeah, I thought it was. I think it's reasonably nice, yeah.
Yeah. No, Slough definitely isn't Mogadishu. And just re Nando's, I think if you're watching from Nando's, if you switch to free range chicken, I might well support you, but as it is.
I've gone veggie. I don't have any. I'm not going anywhere near Nando's. Yeah.
You're veggie.
You're not eating meat now.
No.
Why is that?
A bit for the environment. I'm a bit of a lefty, you see. Green boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of sweet corn fritters.
I like them. I'll have one of those.
Anyway, the Duke of Edinburgh, bidding surprises.
A last aside, I think there was a line in a Jam song, a row down Slough. But anyway.
That means nothing to me.
Don't worry about it. The Duke of Edinburgh Stakes, 5 places each way. We're 6-1 Baghdad and Fujairah Prince, 8 are Fury and Fame and Corgi, 10 Johnny Drama, and it's 11-1 the rest.
Who wants to go first in the Duke of Edinburgh?
I go. Fancy Corgi.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Second in the race last year, beaten a neck by Baghdad. Now, that was off 88. He's up to 99. But has only had one run this season, real eye catching run at York. This has surely been the plan, like, for 12 months, I'd imagine. £11 is obviously makes it a little bit more difficult, but you know it handles the track, you know it handles the race, and I was pretty happy with the prep run at York. I thought that was a really good run, and Corgi for me.
And Tom?
I think Baghdad's got a good chance again. The one thing I would say about this race is I was doing the race for Thursday, the last race on Thursday, and the draw statistics for the race on Thursday. And do you know only 3 horses out of 24 had finished in the frame drawn in a single figure draw in that race? And this race is similar. Being drawn high is a big advantage. It's one, it has been for a good few years now.
And yet trainers don't seem to believe that.
Every time I pick up the paper, they go, "We're badly drawn in 22, says William Haggis today. He's not, he's brilliantly drawn, especially with the ground soft, because they're going to go on the far side.
Fair, William's son did tell him, "You're well drawn, Dad," but I'm not sure Dad was convinced.
No, Dad doesn't listen. But Corgi's in 9. Look, I think they'll spread out, so it's probably not the end of the world. I'd prefer a horse-drawn high. I thought this was really hard. I was quite interested in Johnny Drama, really. He won by miles. I mean, David will know more about him than I. But Gerline's bringing him over. Now, he's a King Power horse, so whether he's been bought for the race, isn't he? He wasn't a King Power horse before this, was he? Whether he'll stay with Gerline's after the race is a question. He'll probably go over to Andrew Balding. But the fact that he's come here as a King Power horse is quite interesting. So I was impressed with him. He won by miles, didn't he, the other day? And whether he's good enough, I think he went up 11 or so pounds, maybe a few more. I think he's on 90-something now. But I thought he would run well. But Baghdad is the one for me. I thought he was impressive last year. I think he'll beat Corgi again. Okay, Ryan Moore's riding as well, isn't he? I thought that was interesting for Mark Johnson.
And Binnis, the Duke of Edinburgh.
I'm going to agree with David Jennings. Corgi, I can't add much more, but a couple of things. Hughie Morrison's won the race 3 times, so he clearly knows what it takes to win it, even though he didn't quite manage it last year. And David mentioned an eye-catching run at York. That was particularly eye-catching, as the horse had wind surgery and been gelded and hadn't run for 263 days. So, Corgi for me.
Okay, that is Corgi. 2 votes for Corgi in the Friday finale. All that we've now needed to be done is to tell you the boys' best bets on day 4. I'm being boring and saying Japan, the King over the 7th at 3:05. Paul Binfield.
I'm going to go for Corgi.
Corgi in the Duke of Edinburgh at 5:35. David Jennings, your best bet?
Oh, Lady Madison, 5:00, Royal Ascot Sandringham Stakes.
And Tom Siegel.
First, well, Japan's the good thing, Lee. We all know Japan's
fingers
the good
crossed
thing, but 2:30 Albany, GM Jackson, JM Jackson. I can't remember which one it is now. I've lost.
I think it's JM.
JM Jackson.
We've agreed on the J.
The JM Jackson in the Albany Stakes, yeah.
Glorious. That then is Friday sorted for you. Remember, you can view and access and listen to all our podcasts using YouTube, Spotify, and Audio Boom. Bruce Millington will be stood here tomorrow previewing day 7 with the boys. Good luck with your day 4 and day 5 bets, and we'll see you soon. Bye bye.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.